Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Thursday, June 28th, 2018. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 294. There's no guests. It's just me talking to you alone in a hotel room in Atlantic City, New Jersey. This is episode 294, by the way, closing in on 300. I don't know what I'm going to do for episode 300, but I would like to have somebody cool or just a guest. But if not, it'll just be me shooting the shit and like we always do. So, sorry that this is late. I was on vacation, young. I took Friday off, and I went down to Maryland to see my parents for the weekend. Got to hang out with them. My dad got a new TV that he's needed for a long time. At least he had this 50-inch projection TV that he got my sophomore year in college. And at the time when he got it, I want to say 1999, it was a good TV. It's good. DVDs look great on it, and it did the job. But then, you know, maybe within the last 10 years, it's like, dude, you should get a new TV. And you know, it came to the point where he finally got one, and got one at like a super low price. Because he got it from Sears, and he worked for Sears for a long time, for 20 plus years. And he had like a discount and all these points that he had, he and my mom had accumulated. So they ended up getting a TV that was like, it was at least $1,000. Then they got it for like 500 or something. And it's amazing. See, I haven't been around. I don't think I've been around a TV like that in the wild in about 2 or 3 years. I have some family friends that are super rich. I went over to their house a few years, maybe like 3 or 4 years back, and they had the TV with the curve and all that shit that looked great. And they were showing it to me. I was like, oh, that's really dope. Turn a football game on. I made them turn to like NFL Network to see a game or something. And it looked really cool. And so I was excited to see my dad's new TV. So I bought him a couple Blu-rays. And I bought him a new Blu-ray player. And it's one of those like ultra HD upscale some shit. It was like Blu-ray players aren't that much. It was like it's under $100, and got him that in an HDMI cable. Oh my god, it looked so good. I was talking to somebody about this. It looked so good that it looked fake. It looked like I put on Black Panther, and it looked like one of those BBC teleplays. Like they were doing it. Like it was like they were doing it live just for me, and it was just shot so good. And it was kind of, I don't know that I got my eyes oriented to it yet, because it just looked so good, and it looked like they were just doing it. I don't know. It was amazing. And then like I was watching a couple episodes of Luke Cage, which I'm still watching. I'll talk about Luke Cage a little later, but and it looked kind of fake, like the special effects, because it was so clear, It looked like they were just like gonna add shit to it later. It just it's amazing how great those things looked. But those TVs look now. It looked amazing. So I'm glad he got that, and I think he's never gonna leave his Lazy Boy chair. And my mother hates that. But it looks amazing, so I'm glad that they got a new telly. Because sometimes, like, it's almost like a TV should have, because my TV is a good TV. It's about 10 or 11 years old, and it's HD. And when I'm playing video games, it looks great. When I'm putting in a Blu-ray movie, it looks great. But it still has, like, there's a certain type of sheen, or just, like, a something where it's just, like, this is a movie. And it looks a certain way, the way movies look. I don't know. I guess maybe my eyes aren't used to it, because I've had the TV that I've had for so long that, yeah, I don't know. But it's amazing how that stuff looks. It's incredible. It makes me think about, like, those PlayStation Pros. Like, I've been looking at, like, I haven't done, like, I've been working and doing comedy, and, like, I haven't been doing TPS reports in about a week, but I've been doing stuff, living my life. But for the most part, in my downtime since that Last of Us 2 Part 2 trailer came out, I've been looking at theories on YouTube like a psycho to see what other people are saying. And some people have really good theories. Some people it's just like, dude, why are you even wasting the time to make a video about this shit? You don't know what you're talking about. So I think it's going to come out, based on some of the theories, I think it's going to come out in Mother's Day of 2019, because the first one came out Father's Day weekend 2013. So that's some people's theories, because Joel is like a surrogate dad or whatever to Ellie, and he a lot of blah, blah, blah. I was talking to a buddy, and he said, yeah, I think I need to finish The Last of Us, because I didn't finish it. I was like, what the fuck? Why am I even talking to you, buddy? So I've been doing that. Auditioned a bit, a couple last week, and I had one that I said put on tape and all that. So it's cool. So I'm here in Atlantic City, New Jersey. After I hung out with my parents, we went to the outlet mall. Went to the outlet mall, the Tanger Outlets in PG County, next to the casino, the MGM, and that was cool. I was surprised at how there weren't that many people around. It seemed like on a Saturday more people would be out, but hung out with my mom and dad. That was good. We went to Target. That was pretty neat. And then after that, I just and I made my parents omelets. They hadn't had, I don't think they had had omelets in a long time, and they had some honey baked ham. I think that I got at Easter. They put in the freezer and all that stuff, and you let it thaw. And my mom cut some up, and then I made them omelets with honey baked ham and like green peppers, onions, cheese, and I seasoned it, and they loved it. I didn't taste it, but I was like, yeah, young, blessed them with my omelet skills. And I think it probably tasted really good because you had that honey baked ham with it. So that might be a new tradition. That was pretty fun. We have to get like to try it with mushrooms and stuff. You don't want to put too much in the omelet. You don't want to overload it because you can't flip it. And my parents had like this high tech stove. It's easier to cook. Like, they have an electric stove. I have a gas stove. Gas stoves heat a lot faster, you know, the top and all that shit. But anyway, that was fun. So I'm glad that I got to show them my omelet making skills, and they dug it. And so after that, that was Sunday. Sunday, I came up and out to Atlantic City. I did some shows, did four shows at the Borgata Comedy Club at the Borgata Hotel and Resort. And it was fucking great. Like, I finished the last show last night. I worked with Al Ducharme and Bernadette Pauly, some veteran comics from the East Coast, from Boston. And they spent a lot of time in New York, and they're LA comics now. And they were so funny. They were great to hang out with. Like, just my favorite thing as a young comic is just to listen to vets talk and give advice, like talk about their experience, and did a lot of that. Got to just soak it all in. They're telling me stories. And they were a good hang too. We ate dinner after the shows and all that stuff. And it was just a good fucking time. So I had a blast. I was kind of concerned about the show. After I got the first show under my belt, I felt good, because I was thinking about, like, they wanted you to be PG-13 and clean and all this stuff. And I'm not really a dirty comic. Like, I think sometimes I can get away with certain things. But overall, I'm not really dirty. I might curse a few times, but I'm not super dirty. And it was cool. I got one groan. One person said, "Mah!" And that was kind of funny. It was funny. And yeah. And overall, it's been like a really good experience. I didn't really venture out onto the boardwalk or anything. I just went to the movies, and I'll give you some movie reviews and in a bit too. I just kind of chilled, went into town, like about 20 minutes away from Atlantic City, and just went to the movies every day, like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and just kind of chilled and just relaxed that way, because there were a few movies that I had missed that I wanted to see. But yeah, overall, just a really fun week. It's just like good to get away. Nice weather. Yeah. Good times, good shows, felt good. The crowd, they were really, I think the first show was good, was really good. Second show was, yeah. And the last two shows were pretty lively. The crowd was like really into it. So I would say the last two shows were the best. First show was fun. Second show was like, yeah. But the people overall, everybody seemed to enjoy it. People will stop you. And I got stopped in the elevator by an older lady. So, "Oh, you were so funny. You were like naturally funny." And people liked me. I mean, whatever. What can I do? I mean, you know, I'm adorable. I'm great on stage. I'm hilarious. It was really fun. And there was this one guy. I was walking with Bernadette and Al. And it was just, and like one guy stopped me. He was like, "Thanks for making me laugh on my birthday." Like an older guy. And he was like by himself. I was like, fuck, almost made me cry. I kind of teared up a little bit. I was like, Jesus, that was great. So people were real super nice. Older black woman stopped me. She said, "You know, I don't really like comedy, but you were good. You were funny and you were clean." I said fuck a few times. I said fuck once. And I said shit like three or four times. So, you know, and I talked about racial shit too. So I didn't go super hard, but I did talk about some racial stuff. I wanted to try a joke, but I was like, because one dude got fired for talking about Trump or something. And they made a big hullabaloo about that. And I was kind of concerned. That was one of the reasons why I was concerned. And I talked to another buddy. He was like, "Yeah, he's like, you'll be all right." I was like, "Oh, you saying I'm whack or some shit? You saying like I'm family friendly and shit? Like I'm not edgy and shit, son?" But no, it went well. It was a totally awesome weekend. So thanks to the Borgata. The staff is fucking awesome. Staff's great. All the good stuff. The food's good. Like you can eat for free in the cafeteria, the employee cafeteria. And it's not just like, it's nice. It's like good food. It's like really good food. Yeah, so I had an awesome time, and now I'm gonna go back to reality tomorrow. So it goes. Such is life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, kid? What else? Everybody's online on social media with all the shit that's going on with Kennedy retiring. Trump gets to pick. Another Supreme Court justice, probably another, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is up there, and people are fighting online about that shit. It's kind of, I know they want people to lose, to be disinterested, and I'm not disinterested because I'm gonna vote and everything. I've been voting. A lot of these people that are complaining, all they had to do was vote for Hillary. And not throw their votes away voting for somebody in another party when that shit doesn't count. When you needed it the most, a lot of people had opportunities. We all had the opportunity to be on the right side of history and vote that woman in. And we didn't do the job collectively. And so a lot of the people that have marched that are complaining, y'all should have voted for Hillary. We should have did that, and it wouldn't be as bad as it is now. There's another guy after the last show. This guy stopped me, and he was like, "Man, he was a brown dude. I think he was Mexican, and he was from Texas, and he was from Waco, Texas." And we talked a little bit about the Branch Davidian. And he was saying, yeah, I mean, this is people, you know, he was just like talking about, she's like, I like how you talked about that racial stuff, man, but you weren't offensive and you talked about it. And it was good, bro. And he's like probably in his 50s. There was a lot of middle age to older people. And that was cool to get that love from the elders. You know what I'm saying? And at the last show walked out, it was a middle-aged black dude and his wife. They were talking to me, and he said, man, you was a breath of fresh air. Now it's like I'm retweeting all the compliments that I got in podcast form. But I got to say, most black comics can attest to this. When black people, older black people, middle-aged black people like your shit, then that's fucking dope. That's one of the biggest compliments that you can get as a black stand-up comedian. I don't give a fuck. So that was cool. But yeah, just talking about the shit that people, you should have voted for Hillary, man. And now we're stuck with this shit. I don't know if he's going to get impeached. I don't want to be hyper political and all that stuff. And it's not like, there are a lot of people that I follow that are more politically savvy and smart and know how to talk about this shit. I just know I'm one of those people that did what I was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm going to continue to do that as a citizen and vote locally and all that stuff. But yeah, man, the people that are complaining, they should have voted for Hillary. So that's all I'll say about that. What else? Music. I like the Teyana Taylor. Now I'm hearing stuff that's not the real album or something, or it got held or whatever got released. Whatever the fuck this thing is, let me see. What is it called? I know people are yelling at me, right? It's such and such, nigga. Where is it at? I'm looking at Tidal. I don't know how they ordered this. I thought I saved it. KTSE. I don't know if that's the root. Whatever this KTSE thing is, it's good. I really like her voice. I didn't know anything about her with the exception that she was on The Breaks and she was like a female rapper, playing a female rapper in the 90s. And she's cute. She's got a really good voice. I like, it's like really sweet and it kind of gets raspy when she goes into higher registers. She's got a good falsetto. Whatever that was, it's good. And I thought that's some of Kanye's best production on all these projects that he's rolled out. I think it's like probably the most cohesive sounding project that he's put out. And it's good. So I like that. I like the Freddie Gibbs. I like the homage to Teddy Pendergrass. That's pretty dope. Freddie Gibbs just goes hard. Like, that's, he's just a rapping ass rapper that fucking goes hard. That, I mean, that's all you can really say about that dude. And I like this Alessia Cara single, Growing Pains. She's like, I like her voice a lot too. Like, I'm a fan. I'll definitely be checking for her when her new album's, her new album drops. Growing Pains is the single. And yeah, she's gonna be around for a long time, and she knows how to, that's kind of like a stadium song. That is like a stadium song, because she probably fucking plays stadiums and theaters, so it sounds really good. And it's like of the moment for her as a young artist. So I dig that. Trying to think what else I'm listening to. I'm looking at Tidal. Leanne LaHavis, like I've talked about her before, but I listened to her first one with Tidal. Now I'm going back to her, you know, her catalog and stuff. So I'm messing with that one. I told you about Madison McFerrin. What else? Her, I like. I told y'all about that. Georgia Smith, I told y'all about. And then shout out to Teyana Taylor for being an American, a young American R&B singer. Because there's like a lot of the girls, pretty brown skin girls from the UK doing their thing. So it's good to see a pretty brown skin from America doing her thing. Yeah, that's music. There's a bunch of other stuff that's in my queue. Like I gotta listen to the new Styles P. Gotta listen to Royce. Gotta get back to playing 2K to really get into some more music, because most of the time, like, I just listen to podcasts and shit. So I gotta get back into that. Movies. Let's do movies, and I'll leave you be. Movies. So Monday, I got up and I went to see Superfly, the Superfly remake, and I'll read you the blurb and then I'll talk about it. Cocaine kingpin, Youngblood Priest, realizes that it's time to get out of the game after surviving a violent attack from a crazed rival. Hoping for one last score, Priest and his partner travel to Mexico to arrange a deal. The career criminal now finds himself trying to outmaneuver the cartel, two corrupt police officers, and all the double crossers that threaten his path to freedom. I really dug this movie, man. This movie was good. A lot of people tried to hate on it. It's 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's bullshit. I think anytime you have an urban film come out, an urban black, that's kind of redundant. But when you have a black movie come out like this, people try to shit on it, and they try to. And I tweeted this, guys. I said this movie is dope. Don't let your elitism keep you from having a good time. Because I think a lot of times we try to, as blacks, as educated blacks or whatever we are, we try to feel like sometimes we're above it. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't, just because you don't see it or you don't like it doesn't mean you're cool or fucking less black than you are or whatever. It's just, I would say, give it a chance. And Rod has been at the forefront of that and talking about this movie. And I think he's gotten more. I think they owe Rod, the makers of this film, owe Rod some credit or something for talking about it. But it was on my docket to see even before that. But I was super excited to see it. I had a good time. I liked the fights. I liked seeing this kid, Trevor Jackson. He was really good. Jason Mitchell's always good. And it was good to see Trevor Jackson. Well, he was in Burning Sands. He's kind of a lead. He's on Grown-ish. He's a good actor, and he held his own against like Michael K. Williams. My man, Richie. My man, where is he at? Isai Morales was in it. Yeah, man, that shit was good. I enjoyed it. Jennifer Morrison, White Starlet, was in it playing like a dirty cop. That was pretty. That was an interesting character. That was an interesting casting, seeing her kind of play a villain, a bad guy. The double crossing, it was fun. The cinematography, Director X, who does a lot of, I think he does a lot of Drake videos. He did this movie that Morgan and I didn't talk about it. I think we were kind of talking about it in pre-production when he was on, but we were did this movie called, oh my God, Across the Line, about this hockey player, this prospect living in Toronto and the racial strife going on in the town that he lived in and stuff. He directed that too, and that was like a couple years back. And the next time he's on, he's already agreed to come back on. So we're going to talk about black hockey, because I don't know anything about it, and I just know that I like P.K. Subban. And I'm going to watch this movie that he told me to watch, Soul on Ice. I know I blabbed about it last week. But, yeah, man, I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was just like, that's a good time. That was good. Like, I dug it. So I saw that. I recommend it. You can still catch it. I'm sure you can catch it and still be in the theaters. What else? I saw Tag on Tuesday. And I saw these movies at the Regal Hamilton Commons Stadium. It's one of those theaters where it's nice. They don't have they have stadium seating, but they don't have the recliner. They don't have the recline and stuff. But it's still good. It's still a nice theater, nice and clean, nice staff. Seeing young people working and shit. Always, for some reason, I don't know. In my older age, I like seeing young people work. Hello, young man. I don't say that, but I just like it because it's just kid. Because I did that when I was young. I worked, and I like seeing kids earn their living. You know, making a little pocket change, get some soda pop at the end of their day. I saw a Tag on Tuesday, and I'll read you the blurb about this one. You guys know about 1 month every year, five highly competitive friends hit the ground running for no holds barred game of tag, risking their necks, their jobs, and their relationships to take one another down. This time, the game coincides with the wedding of the only undefeated player. What should be an easy target soon becomes an all-out war, as he knows they're coming to get him. This movie stars Jeremy Renner, Isla Fisher, Jake Johnson, John Hamm, Ed Helms, and the great Hannibal Buress. I mainly wanted to see this, mainly was drawn to the movie just to see Hannibal. Hannibal is, I think I've gone on record and said this before on the show, but I'll say it again. He's one of the first people in New York City to put me on a show, a real show, and pay me for it. So he's a cool dude. I know he kind of gets in the mix for that Cosby shit, but he's a dope comic, very funny, and a good dude. So I was just there to kind of see him, and these other guys are funny. You know, Hannibal's not a BFF or anything, but just going to check out the movie, and it was good. It was funny. And it was kind of, it was heartwarming too. It's based on a true story of about 10 guys who still tag each other and shit. And you think, like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I'm glad Hannibal's getting that bag, but tag, nigga? Tag what? Okay. But it definitely had a heart to it. It was silly. It was they had a nice little swerve at the end that was like, oh shit. And I smiled. Like I laughed at some of the jokes and whatever. It was only like when I saw Superfly, I was the only person in there. And I had to tell them, hey, you guys are running the trailers, but there's no audio. I can hear there's audio, but there's no video. I can't see anything. So I got them to actually turn the fucking projector on or whatever. And I watched it. And this one, there was only like four people in the seat tag. It was like a 11:30 or 12 o'clock shows. And yeah, it was funny, heartwarming. Nice little swerve at the end. And the action sequences were really funny. They did some slow motion stuff. I fucked with it. I liked it, actually. It's a fun, feel-good movie. Yeah. So that was Tag. And so yesterday I went out again to see Ocean's 8. And I'll read you the blurb on that. I did pretty good. I didn't want to jinx it, but the last blurb that I read, I did pretty good. All right. Ocean's 8. 5 years, 8 months, 12 days and counting. That's how long Debbie Ocean has been devising the biggest heist of her life. She knows what it's going to take. A team of the best people in the field, starting with her partner in crime, Lou Miller. Together, they recruit a crew of specialists, including jeweler Amita, street con Constance, suburban mom Tammy, hacker Nineball, and fashion designer Rose. Their target, a necklace that's worth more than $150 million. This was a good movie. I liked it. I know there was kind of, I don't know if there was like a lot of hype around it. Was all women and we're doing our thing and fuck men and blah blah blah. I don't know how much of that was around this movie, but it was fun. It was just like the first remake with the dudes, the George Clooney joint, the Ocean's 11. It was fun. It was basically the same setup, except they want to infiltrate the Met gala. And had Rihanna, Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Helena Bonham Carter, Sarah Paulson, Awkwafina. Shout out to Awkwafina, Mundane Festival alum, blowing up, doing big things. Mindy Kaling, it was awesome, man. It was fun. I had a good time. I did have, as the homies from the Firestarter crew said, I had one sleep, and it wasn't because of the movie. It was just because of me, because I was up all night after the third show, hanging out and stuff. But other than that, man, the shit, it was fun. I had a good time. It was entertaining. I think I had known the swerve at the end, so that got spoiled. But I'm not going to spoil it for y'all, but it was cool. It was cool. I liked it. I enjoyed that shit, and I had a good time. I guess, what am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to Sicario. I want to see that. So that comes out this weekend. Uncle Drew. I'll check it out. Black actors. You know what I'm saying? Next week, it's Sorry to Bother You. So that's the flick that's been getting a lot of hype around it. You know, I gotta be on that. I gotta check that out. One thing I'm thinking about, so I've been thinking about this AMC Stubs upgrade, the A-list, where you pay them $19.99 a month, and you get to watch three movies a week, and you can see it in any format, whether it's digital, HD, IMAX, 3D, 3DD, whatever the fuck, and you get to see all these movies. That's their answer to MoviePass, and I welcome the healthy competition. I think it's actually pretty good, because I've said this to you guys before. I like with AMC, I like using the Stubbs points. I like patronizing. I like going to that theater. I think, but so now that they've opened it up, now that you can go to, because my favorite theater now is the AMC Dine-In that's near me in Hackensack, and it's really nice. It's right across the highway, and it's a nice theater. They keep it clean, and you can't use the movie pass there because it's a high-end theater. And then if you go to see an AMC movie like at the Garden State Plaza, which is also near me, it's more congested. It's the biggest mall in the state of New Jersey. And it's just like they haven't renovated the seating. They haven't done any renovations. And that make me, I'm like, yeah, I guess I am a bit of a movie snob now. I am. Like, if you don't have like stadium seating that's not comfortable, or, you know, it's not good. You're charging people all this money for seats. You're charging $16 to go see a movie, and you don't, it's not comfortable. Like that's the thing, you guys. So for me, I think I'm going to do it. It's just yet another fucking service and subscription that's just going to take out of the fucking bank account, the credit card. I don't know. It's worth it, though. But see, at the same time, I still like MoviePass. MoviePass is a black-owned business. I'm seeing people talk about that, like just finding out that it's a black-owned business. And so it goes. But then people on Twitter are like, oh, well, I'm canceling my Stubbs. Like, don't cancel your Stubbs, dude. You can still use your Stubbs card when you use your MoviePass. That's accumulating your points, you know? So I still like MoviePass because I can... When I'm on the road, like just because, you know, you have your movie pass doesn't mean that there's going to be an AMC around. Like I was thinking about seeing Won't You Be My Neighbor. I still want to see that. And the closest AMC here was like 40 miles away. And so I have memberships at Bowtie, Regal, and AMC, and all this other stuff. All these other places, you know, when you're on the road and stuff, they don't always have AMC theaters. So you have to go, you know, where in MoviePass, you can use MoviePass pretty much wherever. If you can still, like I read an article like on CNN that said you can use MoviePasses at all AMCs now. And if that's true, I don't think I need to get it yet. Until MoviePass goes under, because I don't know how they can sustain this, given, you know, you're paying $9.99 a month and then, like, you know, you're just seeing all these movies. You see one movie a day, and that's kind of enough. Like, I was thinking about seeing Jurassic Park, the new Jurassic Park. I can either wait for that. I don't have that much of an interest to see it, but I was like, I'm out. I could see it, but now I was like, nah, young. I don't know. I do like the fact that you can do that. But if I can use my movie pass at AMC Dine-Ins and at my favorite theater, I will hold off on getting, because that's just another $20. It's like, ooh. I don't know, bro. But it's very tempting. I'll see. I think I'll try to go to the movies this weekend and see what's good, what's really good with it, young. Because if you do this thing, then they also have the thing where you can reserve your tickets and you don't have to worry about, you know, paying. You can reserve your tickets, reserve your seats. That's a game changer. It really is a game changer. But I still like the portability of the movie pass, because you can watch stuff while you're on the road and not worry about paying for stuff. So that's pretty dope. And then if you want concessions, that's going to make you spend more money on concessions. And that's really how how those theaters make their money too. So something to think about. I'll see what happens this weekend and I'll report back to you guys. So how long have I been blabbing to you guys? It's been like 40 minutes. I think that's good enough. I think I'm going to get into God of War and start playing that, since everybody says it's so great. And I'll let you know. So that's that. Next week, July 5th, I'm going to be at Just Jake's on the Non-Productive Comedy Show, debating something with the homie J.L. Covan. And we're not going to fucking do Black Panther because that's just played out. I'm done with talking about that. But we're going to be debating something. So come to Just Jake's in Montclair, New Jersey, if you're near there, and see me and JL shoot the shit. And also, if you're in Philly, come out to Helium on August 15th and get tickets for JL's CD taping of his album Thoughts and Prayers. So that's going to be a good time. Helium is a dope club. And JL's dope. I'm dope. It's going to be fun. So do that. And so without further ado, that's the end. That's the end of the show. I'm done blabbing to you. I will talk to you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Appreciate y'all.